Ask the Lord to bless his word. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with his pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Our Father, bless your word that we have read. Let us see Christ in these scriptures afresh. Lord, let us worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. Let thy presence be among us. Help me to rightly divide the word of truth, to preach in the power of thy spirit. Lord, help us to gather to listen and to receive the message that is in this portion of scripture. Thank you for your mercies, Father. They are too numerable to reckon up in order. Help us to walk in this life in a way that's pleasing in your sight, in a way that does not bring reproach upon your name. Lord, put a watch on our tongue. Help us to realize that we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors of the God of heaven and earth. Help us to remember these things. And we pray for those, Father, who are sick in this congregation, those who are under afflictions, trials, heartaches. Lord, you know them one by one. We pray for them. We pray for thy children throughout this world, Father, and thy servants who are standing this morning. Lord, help us. We are not sufficient for these things. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and amen. Now, we have looked at Christ in Genesis. We have seen him in the seed of the woman. We have seen him in Abel's offering. We have seen him in Noah's ark. We've seen him in Sarah and Hagar, law and grace. We've seen him in Abraham and Isaac going up to the mountain. The Lord will provide, Abraham said to Isaac. We've seen the Lord in that portion of scripture. We've seen him. We've seen him in a bride for Isaac, when he sent the servant to get a bride for Isaac. We've seen Christ in that in the church. We've seen him in Bethel, the house of God. when he made himself known to Jacob there. We've seen him in Peniel, however you say that, the face of God. We've seen him in that. We see Christ. You know, we see God in the face of Christ. That's where we see God. It's the only place where you and I can look upon the face of God and live is in the face of Jesus Christ. When we see his glory in the face of Jesus Christ, we've seen him in Joseph opening the storehouse. We've seen him in Joseph dealing with his brethren. And now we're going to see him, I think, in the clearest picture given in the Old Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his person, the Lamb of God, his sacrifice, his blood, the blood of atonement. Christ, our Passover, Paul said, is sacrificed for us. The clearest picture of Christ, I believe, is in the Passover, the sacrificing of the Passover lamb. I think the clearest portion of Scripture where Christ is preached as our substitute, as our sacrifice, is in Isaiah 53. That's the clearest portion of Scripture. Some call it the gospel according to Isaiah. It's the gospel in a chapter. You know, the gospel in a verse is 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the gospel in a verse. The gospel in a chapter is Isaiah 53. The gospel in a picture, the clearest picture, is the Passover. It's the Passover. Now, the Lord brought Israel down to Egypt as he foretold to Abraham. Remember, he told Abraham he was going to do this. And they're going to be there 400 years. They was there about 430. I think they were in slavery about 400. And they grew into a great nation while there. And Pharaoh that knew Joseph died. And another Pharaoh arose that did not know Joseph. And he became afraid of Israel because they had multiplied so much. And so what did he do? He made them slaves. You know, God, it said that God turned their heart against his people. You know, the Lord brought them, I was thinking about this, the Lord brought them down to Egypt and for them to go into servitude and to go into great bondage and to deliver them for this purpose. He's going to give us this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to institute the Lord's Passover. Jesus Christ is the Lord's Passover. He is the Passover lamb. He's the Lord's Passover. He is. But he gives us a picture here. God has given us in the Old Testament so many examples and so many pictures. I was looking at a picture yesterday. And it was a picture of my granddaughter, and I was looking at it. Aubrey had painted a picture of her, gave it to her for her birthday. And she sent it to me, and I was looking at it. And it's a picture that I can look at, and I can say, I know who that is. I know who that is. Now, I know who it is because I know the one that the picture is of. I know that. And you and I have such a blessing. We know the one that all these pictures are about. They're clear to us, aren't they? They're clear to us. I had a man say to me, a young man, I was a young man. We were both early 20s, 23. I'd heard the gospel. And his wife said to me that they were saved in the Old Testament by the blood of those sacrifices, those lambs, and we are saved now by the blood of Christ. No. Nobody was ever saved by the blood of bulls and goats. That's how pitiful the preaching was that she sat under. That's what that leads to. You sit under false doctrine, guess what? You believe false doctrine. That's what it leads to. False peace, false rest, false faith, a false salvation. And when you die, what do you hear? Depart from me. I never knew you. And that weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, guess who that's against? Those who lied to him. But here, a Pharaoh raises up that know Joseph and are in bondage. And then the Lord spoke to Moses He spoke to him in chapter 11, verse 1, and he tells Moses, he says, I'm going to bring one more plague. You know, he brought all those plagues, and Pharaoh would say, I'm going to let you go. And then it says, Pharaoh hardened his heart, and it says, God hardened his heart. God left Pharaoh alone. He let Pharaoh be Pharaoh. And God said, I'm going to send one more plague on Egypt, and they're going to let you go. They're going to let you go. When this plague comes, they're going to thrust you out. And that's exactly what happened. But before they go out, before they are delivered, here is what God does for Israel. And this is what God has done for us. There's going to be a lamb given. There's going to be a sacrifice made. There's going to be blood shed. And there's going to be blood applied. You see, blood shed, if it's never applied, does not save. It's got to be applied. The blood that was shed has to be applied. And they apply it to the two side posts and over the door, over the top of it. That represents faith. They believed God, or they wouldn't. They said, oh, that ain't going to happen. Well, if they had not put the blood over the door, believed what Moses said, what God said to Moses, they would have died. So you see, the blood shed also has to be applied. And this is what's going to happen. So the Passover lamb is given, and the whole gospel is preached. The whole gospel is preached in the Passover lamb. You got the character of Christ. You got a lamb. You got a lamb without blemish, without spot, is what you have. You've got the blood applied, the blood of sprinkling applied to the door. You've got the eating of the lamb. You've got the faith in Christ. If you don't believe on Christ, you know, election, I want to tell you, election is not salvation. You know this. I mean, a lot of things I tell you, look, every week I tell you the same thing, you know. And you'd be glad that I do so. But that blood has got to be applied, and faith lays hold of the blood of Christ. It lays hold of the blood of Christ. And we see the end result. Israel is delivered. They are delivered. We shall be delivered. We are delivered by the blood of Christ. And when we die, we shall be delivered into glory by the blood of Christ. It is his blood that makes us spotless. He has cleansed us from our sins. Washed us whiter than snow. Can you imagine? Is there anything whiter than snow? You're whiter than snow before God's presence. Now, let me say a few things here about the Lamb and see if we can see Christ in these things. There in verse 5, the Lamb, it says, was to be without blemish. It has to be without blemish. If it didn't matter, then just a good man could have died. If it didn't matter if it had a blemish, it has to be perfect to be accepted. Listen here, Leviticus 22:21. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a free will offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. I wish we could grab hold of the perfection of Jesus Christ, that man, the God-man, but a man no less. And he is absolutely perfect. We don't know that. We don't know in any way, shape, or form what perfection really is. We know how to spell it, but to know it by experience, there's a blemish in everything we do. There's a blemish in every prayer we pray. There's enough sin in it. If we understand God's holiness, there's enough sin in my prayers to cast me into hell. It's the intercession of Christ. It's Christ who makes our prayers accepted. It's him. He does that. So he says here, it must be perfect to be accepted. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to be our righteousness, he must live a perfect life. He must live a perfect life. I mean, starting with his thoughts, starting with his love for God. We can't even start and talk about his outward obedience until we talk about his inward obedience. He said in the Psalms, I love thy law. How many times did we read that going through Psalm 119? I love thy law. I love thy precepts. I love thy judgments. I love them. And when he kept God's law, God's judgments and God's precepts, when he kept them because he loved them. I mean, loved them. Oh, it's just like, oh, I love doing this. I love doing this. That's what he did. That's how he kept it with his heart. It has to be without blemish. And that starts within. I was reading this morning, I believe it was, over in Exodus, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your soul, all your heart, and with all your might. He said, love him with all your might. Have you done that? I haven't. John Newton said, why am I so cold? Why am I so lifeless? Why am I so lifeless? He wasn't. Our Lord wasn't cold or lifeless. I tell you, first thing he woke up in the early morning hours, the first thing he did was praise God in prayer. And then went throughout the day doing the same. And then secondly, there in verse 5, the lamb was to be taken out of the fold. It has to be one like us. You see, Jesus Christ has to come from among the brethren. Jesus Christ is our elder brother. He's our elder brother. He really is. Listen here to Deuteronomy. I took the time this morning to go through and take all these scriptures and look them up and then copy and paste them is what I did. So, of course, there's no way we'd have time for this. But in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, 19, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they've spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name. Did he not say, as I hear, I speak? Our Lord said that. I will require it of him. I'll bring him into judgment. And then here in verse 5, the lamb was to be a year old, and it was to be killed. Our Lord was to be taken in the strength of his life, 33 years of age. You know, I look at somebody now in their 30s, I call them a kid. I said, they're a kid. They're just young. They're so young. You all so young. I tell you, just, he was to be taken in the youth of life, the strength of his life, and be put to death. He didn't die of old age. He gave up his life. He didn't die of a disease. He gave up his life. I lay down my life for the sheep. And then the lamb was to be, there in verse 9, the lamb was to be roasted with fire. He couldn't just come into this world. He could not just come into this world and die. Because sin deserves suffering. It deserves suffering. You see, for me, here, I give some thought to this. For me to die under the judgment of God, God would cast me into hell, and there I would suffer for eternity, wouldn't I? I could never satisfy God's justice. That's why there's no end to it. But I would suffer forever and ever. Well, he had to suffer. He had to suffer what I would suffer. He has to suffer. So he's got it here. Here's such a good picture. It's got to be roasted with fire. Our Lord was roasted with God's fire. Under the fire of God's wrath. We can't even begin to comprehend that. It's true. I believe it. I can't comprehend that. I just can't do it. This shows the manner of our Lord's death. He was to be tormented. He was to suffer. He's to be crucified. He's to endure the fire of God's wrath. That's what it teaches us. In Acts 26, 22, 23, having therefore obtained help of God, Paul says, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer. It's been foretold, right? Go back here to Exodus 12. Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And Festus said, Paul, much learning's made you mad. You're nuts. That's what he said. Paul, you're nuts. No, he wasn't. Our Lord died according to the Scriptures. He suffered according to the Scriptures. And then in verse 9, the lamb was to be roasted whole. It was not to be sectioned out and roasted. It was to be a lamb completely intact. The Scripture says this in John 19. Not a bone was broken. Not a bone was broken. The Scriptures are so accurate. They are so accurate. Not a bone was broken, as the word of God declares. Not a bone of his was broken. And then in verse 7, the blood of the lamb must be sprinkled upon the lintel and the sides of the door. You see, we got the blood shed, but now the blood has got to be applied. And this is speaking here of faith. It's speaking of faith. The Israelites had to take the blood and put it over the top of the door and down the two sides. They didn't put it on the bottom for his blood to be trampled on. You're not going to walk on his blood. You didn't put it on the floor. It was just over the top and two sides. That's where it's to be applied. And I tell you this, if they just put it on one side, not the other, somebody's in trouble. It's got to be exactly as God said. His blood is over us. His blood covers us spiritually. Spiritually it does. The blood of Christ must be applied. There's no salvation or deliverance apart from faith, because election itself is not salvation. It's unto salvation. It's unto salvation. In John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He has it. The evidence of the fact that you have eternal life, everlasting life, the evidence of it is this: you believe. You believe the gospel. You believe it. You believe it with all your heart. You believe it. And listen, God did not put the blood on the door. He told them to do it. This is where faith, listen, faith is a gift of God. It's the work of God. It's the operation, the Scripture says, of the Holy Spirit. But it's not God believing for me. It's God working faith in me. But the faith is your faith. It's your faith. And you look and you believe. You believe the gospel. And you believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is the atonement for your sin. You lay hold of it. By faith, you lay hold of it. By faith, it's real to you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is what makes it real to you. True God saving faith, that the faith that God gives, makes everything in this Scripture concerning Christ and salvation and God and yourselves, it makes it real to you. Other than that, it's just another book. It's just another book. You just read it, and you can read any other book, and nothing's made real to you. But by the faith that God works in us, by faith, you lay hold of Christ. You believe on Christ. You believe that his blood is the atonement for your sin. You believe it. It becomes real to you. That's putting the blood over the door, top of the door, and in its two sides, folks. That's what faith does. It believes God. It says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, what's the opposite of that? By faith, it is possible to please God. And faith is believes God. That's what it is. It believes God. It especially believes God concerning Jesus Christ. He is all my righteousness. He's my wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Jesus Christ is absolutely everything I need to stand in God's presence. I don't need anything else. I can't make it more clear than that. I don't need anything else. Add anything to it, and you unchrist him. Is exactly what you do for yourself. And the blood on the door shows an outward confession, an evidence of faith. When you confess Christ, and when you confess him, first of all, we confess him by believer's baptism. The Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized, and you say, I want to be baptized. I want to follow the Lord in baptism. I want to be identified with him. I want to be identified with him. I want to be identified with his people. I am not ashamed, as Paul said in Romans. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. Can you imagine being ashamed of God? I'm the one he ought to be ashamed of. It just astounds me that at one time I was ashamed. At one time I wouldn't confess him. I wouldn't carry that Bible. I wouldn't carry that Bible anywhere. I didn't want to be seen with it. That's sad, isn't it? He ought to be ashamed. He's not ashamed, it says, to call them brethren. He's not ashamed. And we'd be ashamed of him. We would be ashamed to confess him. That's a shame. That's a shame. And then in verse 8, the Israelites, they were to eat the flesh of the lamb. You see, there's the blood, there's faith. But faith not only lays hold of the blood, but faith believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what faith is. It eats his flesh and drinks his blood. That's spiritual. That's not cannibalism. You know, when he told that to the Israelites, they're like, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And many of his disciples left him over there. And a lot of them was like, eat your flesh and drink your blood. You know, that's what them Gentiles were into. They were into cannibalism, not us. He's talking about spiritually. Spiritually, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you feed on Christ, and you look to him, and you know that his blood is the atonement. That's drinking. That's eating and drinking his flesh and drinking his blood. That's what that is. If you don't do that, you're lost. It's evident you're lost if you don't do it. But they fed on Christ, or the believers. The believers feed on Christ. Listen here in John 6, 55, 58. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. That's what happens when you eat food and drink it, isn't it? It goes into you. You digest it. It goes into you. It's now part of you. You know what you eat this afternoon is going to become a part of you. And that's what he's talking about here. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, he that eateth me, and even he shall live by me. How does your body live? It's going to live by what you eat today, isn't it? It's going to live by what you eat tomorrow. You know, we are what we eat. Basically, you know, you've heard that old saying, we are what we eat. In other words, your health does depend a lot on what you eat. Our spiritual health completely depends on Jesus Christ. Eating his flesh, drinking his blood, by faith, it does. He that eateth me shall live by me, just like my body lives by the food I eat. Spiritually, I live by feeding on Christ. You know, I have no confidence in people who can show up once in a great while. Now, you eat once in a great while and see how that goes. If God has given you life, you've got to be where the gospel's preached. You've got to feed on Christ. You have to. You have to. He that eateth me shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat man and are dead. It didn't help them. The types don't help. Types don't save. It's Christ that saves. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now, in verse 8, they were to eat the lamb with unleavened bread. You know, leaven was a type of sin. We are to eat it with in truth and sincerity without hypocrisy. That's what that is. There's no leaven in what we do. We're serious. We're serious this morning. We're serious about it. And then verse 8, they were to eat the lamb with bitter herbs. That's repentance. That's repentance. You know, where there's faith, there's repentance. You can't have faith and not have repentance. You can't have one without the other. It's like a sheet of paper. You can't have one side without the other side. And then the lamb there in verse 9 the lamb was not to be eaten raw nor sodden with water. It was not to be boiled, what they're saying here, boiled in wine or oil or water. It was nothing to be mixed with, that's what it's saying. No mixture. You couldn't do that. Christ was to endure the full wrath of God's judgment for our justification, and there's nothing to be added to that. We don't add anything for our justification. You know, quitting something doesn't make you justified. I don't care if you're the most outward wretch on the top of this side of this earth. You can quit everything, and that's not going to justify you. It's the blood of Christ. It's the obedience, death, blood of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. He rose again for our justification. And in verse 10, nothing of the lamb was to remain. It's either all Christ or no Christ. That's it. It's just that simple. It's either all him, as he's revealed in the scriptures, or it's not him at all. And then in verse 11, they were to eat the Passover, dressed and ready to move out of Egypt. They were pilgrims. They're getting ready to leave. Are you pilgrims? Boy, I've seen people die trying to hang on to everything. We're pilgrims. I have nothing. I'm just living in a tent. What you're looking at here is a tent. My body's a tent. I'm traveling home like a wayfaring man. I'm traveling home. Just pilgrims. And God said, and I close, verse 13, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. This is a promise. This is a promise. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Lord, let your blood be propitiation for my sins. I pray that all the time. I do. I pray that all the time. I pray that nearly daily. Let your blood be the propitiation for my sins. Because God said, when I see the blood, my judgment will pass over you. Because it already passed on to his son, Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the gospel of substitution. God's judgment passed over me and fell on him. And now God's mercy and grace falls on me because of him and through him. And someday I'm going to stand in glory completely for Christ's sake. Everybody there is there for Christ's sake. And that's why they're there. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Oh, I tell you, that's the gospel. Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. All right. I don't know if I got anything left for the second one.